Good morning. We're in 2 Samuel today, and we're still discussing the life of King David as it's revealed to us specifically in the Psalms, but also just in the historic accounts as well of his life. Our text this morning is verse 8 of 2 Samuel chapter 6. In verse 9 it says, just as our text, "And David was afraid of the Lord that day." And that is our subject, the fear of God. Any of us who have experienced, and David for sure, intimacy with God, can in slack times slip into the sin of presumption. In our text this morning, we see David and the people of God rejoicing and celebrating before the Lord. And I believe in an authentic way. Now, you know the count. David says, "I'm going to bring the Ark of God into Jerusalem." David had taken that high place there in the mountains that we now call Zion from the Jebusites, and he made it his capital city. And it seems perfectly reasonable that they should set the tabernacle up there in Jerusalem. And so he thinks, well, what we'll do is we'll take the Ark of the Covenant from the house of Abinadab, and we'll take it to Jerusalem. And it says they take a new oxen cart, and I don't know if the oxen were new, but with new oxen cart, and they put the Ark of the Covenant on the ox cart, and they head off up to Jerusalem. And it says that David was dancing, and some versions have it, with all of his might, with instruments made of fir wood. You make anything with fir wood? Y'all ought to give it a try. These are guitar makers here. Fir wood. All kinds of instruments. And they were celebrating before the Lord as they brought the Ark of the Covenant up to Jerusalem. And they come to Nacon, the threshing floor of Nacon. And when they get there, I don't know what happened, and it doesn't tell us, but it doesn't matter. Uzzah saw the cart joggle a bit, and he was afraid the Ark of the Covenant would fall off. Well, this is an important thing, and so he reaches out to steady it. And listen to what it says, verse 7, "The anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah, and God struck him down there for his irreverence, and he died there by the Ark of God." And at this, David is angry. Commentators tell us that he wasn't really angry with God, and I'm not sure if that's right. In fact, I'm pretty sure it's not right. What they say is that David was angry with himself, that he had done this thing, and that he had put the nation at risk like this. But that sounds way too much like 20th century newspeak or 21st century, modern. I'm angry with myself. I don't think so. I think he was angry with the Lord. He was angry because the Lord's outburst against Uzzah all of this happened in the midst of the people of God with sincerity and with good human intentions and feelings towards God and the worship of God. In the midst of that, God struck this man dead. Their good feelings and their good intentions, their good hearts, I'm stressing this, their good hearts were not enough to ward off God's outburst against Uzzah. What was I supposed to do, Uzzah might say? Let the ark fall? My answer would be, in hindsight, you know, this is Monday morning quarterbacking, but my answer to that would be, yes, let it fall. What do you think? Well, the turning point in the story is, of course, the striking down of Uzzah. But second to that is the strong statement of verse 9, and David was afraid of the Lord on that day. Now, the Hebrew words for fear can be translated variously depending on the context. Anywhere from fear, respect, awe, or it can be accurately translated in, you know, with sheer terror and horror. I think on that day, David was terrified of God. He was terrified of God. And I think rightly so. David had had many wonderful experiences of fellowship with God up to this point. To read the Psalms of David and the historical accounts of David's life up to this point is a real celebration of how God can bring men into fellowship with himself. But in this instance, David is going to learn something new about God. And this is the truth. God is not to be trifled with. David knew that God could be severe with his enemies. But God was to learn at the threshing floor of Nacon that at this precise moment, God can be severe with his very own people. Did you hear what I just said? This is a shocking truth when you see it lived out in one's own experience. It's one thing to see God, you know, being severe on I was looking around to see who I would pick out here, and so I'm not gonna. Just say John Henry Smith. It's one thing to see God being severe with him, but it's another thing to see God being severe with Uzzah and King David. God can be severe with his own people. David saw a sincere soul struck down in a moment. Uzzah had reached out and touched the ark of God, which symbolizes the presence of God among his people. And if you just want a little note here, if you have a reference Bible, it'll tell you this. But Numbers chapter 4 tells you, God gave specific instructions on how to transport the ark. He said, get a piano dolly. Have y'all seen a piano dolly? You could put all kinds of weight on a piano dolly. No, he didn't say that. He said you put They built a table and you put poles through there, and the priests were to carry that. They weren't to even touch it. In fact, they weren't to look on it. I think they were supposed to be covered up. You read Numbers. It was covered up in several layers of fabric. People weren't even supposed to look at the Ark of God. And here it was, David and Uzzah, transporting it like a piece of furniture to Jerusalem. But they were sincere. They were happy. They were praising God. I mean, four-part harmony and musical instruments and if you liked Hebrew music, it was probably beautiful. Uzzah, with all good intentions, sought to help God out. Or as Kylan Delitzsch puts it, I'm getting more and more liking Steve gets guys he likes to quote. I like Kylan Delitzsch. He says, Uzzah was a type of all those who with good intentions, yet with unsanctified minds, interfere into the affairs of the kingdom of God. Can I read it again? Uzzah was a type of all those who with good intentions, yet with unsanctified minds, interfere into the affairs of the kingdom of God. I'm going to intersperse here, and Steve probably has a case against me, rightfully. I don't like business meetings, church business meetings. I've learned this by long experience. Because someone stands up and says, well, I'm of the opinion. Another guy stands up over here, and I second his opinion. And a guy over here says, and then the preacher says, well, do we have a motion and a second? And they go to that, and we start discussing it. And I'm not criticizing any of this, but it makes me nervous. The kingdom of God is not run by Robert's rule of order. Now, people have used Robert's rule of order for a long time, and it has a point. I get it, but it makes me nervous. I shouldn't be so nervous, should I, Steve? Uzzah and business meetings are a type of all who with good intentions, yet with unsanctified minds, interfere into the affairs of the kingdom of God. Throw that out. Now, when David saw God's outbreak against Uzzah, it was a shock to him. For David knew that God loved him. David knew that he had known the help of God. David knew that he had known personally the intimacy with God. David knew God. He knew all this of God, about God. If you read Psalm 23, it is to read an account of a sweet and intimate fellowship between God and man. But now at this juncture, David was to learn that God was terrible in his holiness. Now, God's been teaching, Lebeth and I were talking about this yesterday. The whole Old Testament is not about including people into the kingdom of God. It's about separation. You can't go here and you can't go there and you can't do this. And if you sin this way, you better do this. It's all about teaching us that we have been separated from God by our sin. But David had crossed over into that wonderful world of intimacy with God that, again, the Old Testament had provided for. But now at this juncture, David was to learn that God was terrible in his holiness. Look at the strong statement of verse 9. David was afraid of the Lord on that day. This is not everyday deference men should show to their superiors. You know, to your boss at work, you say, yes, sir, no, sir. Or yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. This is not the reverence men should show to God, even. Just reverence. The reverence of that men show their national or civil religion. When David was afraid of the Lord on that day, this was the realization that the real King and God of all existence could not be counted on and put in a box. He would break out, it says. He broke out against Uzzah. God couldn't be counted on. No, tell him what he might do. And this was a shock to David. Like I said, his first reaction was anger at God. But the second reaction, it didn't take long. He said, well, he scares me. He was afraid of the Lord on that day. God wasn't a team player. And let me explain to you what I mean. Our God cannot be put in a box. He cannot be manipulated. God is not a sociological construct that we have invented to hold our nation and our country and the world together. God is not just some figment of human imagination that we resort to when things get, worrisome. He's not a soft-hearted grandfather. God is fierce and looks into the very heart of God. Pardon me, in the very heart of man. There is not a person in the universe except His Son Jesus who can endure the gaze of God. I think we should all be very careful around God. I give a silly illustration. We have a new mayor in town. Well, I'm going to be special nice to him now. God deserves more than that. God, now listen to what I'm saying, is on His own side. He is, in fact, extremely dangerous. Those who have seen and experienced God as He has revealed Himself on the threshing floor of Nacon know their real place in the universe. David was all of a sudden not very important. He was just Uzzah, God struck down Uzzah like He'd struck down Philistines and Amalekites. All of a sudden, the nation of Israel came to a standstill on the threshing floor of Nacon, and they knew in a moment their real place in the universe, and their place was small. Do you know your real place in the universe? You know, I'm a foolish young feller at 69. I can remember standing there listening to Brother Dotson preach, and all of a sudden it hit me, you know, in heaven no one's going to be even looking at me. No one's going to pay any attention to me. And you know what? No one will be. All eyes will be on Him. It's good to know your real place in the universe. Now, the fear of God is the real starting point in our understanding of God. What's it say in Proverbs? You know it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge or wisdom. Now, let's go back to the story of Adam and Eve in the garden. The rebellion of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden was an attack against God and who He was. This story is pivotal. In fact, I don't think we could understand anything if we don't understand what happened in the Garden of Eden. What happened in the Garden of Eden was an attack against God and who He was. God had told Adam and Eve, point blank, do not eat of this tree. And He pointed it out. And then, at the urging of Satan, they did it anyway. And Satan's basic argument is that God was not what He appeared to be, and how God was not what He presented Himself to be. God could be successfully resisted, and in fact, men could become God's equal if they just did this one thing that Satan was suggesting. God is not to be feared. He is, in point of fact, afraid of man. That the man who God created might become His equal. The devil was saying that Adam and Eve could order their lives independently of God. Don't be afraid of God. Don't listen to God. God is afraid of you, that you might become His equal, knowing good and evil. And above all things, don't fear Him. Well, the account of Genesis chapter 3 teaches us God is to be feared. You cannot disrespect God. We're all worried about disrespecting each other. But God is the last person to disrespect. And you know what? He's the first person we most often do disrespect. Forget about the Bible. Look at what society teaches us. Put a rainbow on your t-shirt. I agree with my daughter Abigail. I like the rainbow. And it really upsets me that the devil has appropriated that sign for himself. But nevertheless, I've got off subject, didn't I, Steve? The account in 2 Samuel chapter 6 teaches us the same basic truth. God is to be feared and respected. He is not to be trifled with. This is... Do they have Mathematics 101 in college, or is that something I took in high school? Did they have it in college, Roy Dean? They had a class for me? It was low level. Yes. Okay. That's good that I wanted you to say that. To fear God is low-level theology. It is fundamental. If you don't get this, you better go back and take Mathematics 101 again. God is to be feared. It is the beginning of wisdom. If we do not understand this, we understand nothing. If we forget this truth that we once maybe held true, then we're back to square one again. God is to be feared. We should not forget this basic, basic truth. The teaching that God is to be feared is throughout the Psalms of David. Psalm 15, verse 4, the fear of God is to be a national characteristic. God's people were those that feared the Lord. God honors those who fear the Lord. The people of God can be described as those who fear God. Blessings will follow those that fear the Lord. Psalm 22, verse 23. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify Him. Stand in awe of Him, all you descendants of Israel. What is the defining characteristic of God in these texts? What is the heritage of God's people? It is the fear of God. Again, if the people of God don't have this, they have nothing. It's basic. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's foundational. The ground will crumble under our feet if we do not have fear for God. Generation after generation of God's people are those who can be described as those who honor and fear the Lord. Chapter 25, Psalm 25, verse 14. These are all Psalms of David. The secret of the Lord is for those who fear Him. David tells us in this psalm that God confides in those who fear Him. Genesis 18, verse 17 says to Abraham, who feared God, should we tell Abraham what we're getting ready to do? He doesn't tell the editor of the New York Times what he's getting ready to do. He tells those who fear him what he's getting ready to do. God will make us know His ways. He will teach us His paths. He will lead us in the truth and teach us if we are just fear Him. God confines Himself. The secrets of the Lord are for those who fear Him. Psalm 31, verse 19. How great is Thy goodness, which Thou hast stored up for those who fear Thee, which Thou hast wrought for those who take refuge in Thee. The fear of God is to make one eligible for a storehouse of blessings. I like this. How great is the goodness which Thou hast stored up for those that fear Thee. It's like one of those storehouses back east that Amazon runs. It's full of stuff. But the stuff, in this instance, is for those who fear God. God's goodness. How great is the goodness which God has stored up for those who fear Him. To fear God is to make one eligible for God's great storehouse of blessings. God has goodness stored up for you. If we live in fear and respect for Him. Do you live in the knowledge that God is your infinite superior? If you do, you have God's infinite blessings. God's storing them up for you. Psalm 34, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. This world is fraught with dangers and trouble. I mean, all of a sudden, you are just walking along fine, and something terrible happens. The world's fraught with such troubles. Do you respect and honor God for who He is? If you do, then God promises to watch over you and to rescue you in times of trouble. Would you live in the security of the Most High God? Then live in fear of Him. David was afraid of God. That day on the threshing floor of Nahor, he was taken back. And he feared. These few texts from the Psalm teach us important truths. But before we go, Steve mentioned one just a while ago, and he mentioned to me back there, and I said, is that a Psalm of David? And he said, yeah, it's a Psalm of David. The fear of the Lord is clean. I like that verse. The world is full of nasty uncleanness. I could just say specifically sexual uncleanness. It's everywhere. I get up in the middle of the night and study a lot. And sometimes I'll turn on my phone and, shouldn't do that. But I want to ask, Google something, where's a certain verse or something. And right there, there's an advertisement. What does Farrah Fawcett look like in a bikini? Well, I know it's for old people. I know they know I'm awake and old people are awake. And I know most people don't even know who Farrah Fawcett is. Young people don't. So I know they're aiming this thing right at me. Some old codger. Uncleanness just pops right in, right there. And I joke with my kids, my hand trembles over the button. I wonder what Farrah Fawcett looks like today. Well, she's dead, by the way. But the point is, uncleanness is everywhere. All kind of sin is uncleanness isn't just sexual. Uncleanness is just pure sin, rebellion. The fear of the Lord is clean. It's a good verse. Thanks, Steve. To live in the fear of God is not to be understood as life in an unhealthy, craven, horror that you walk around trembling all the time. But rather, it's to live in harmony with God, with the God who is. It's to live in reality. To live in peace and harmony with God is a glory. God, Abraham walked in the fear of God. Isaac walked in the fear of God. Jacob walked in the fear of God. And they knew God's blessings because they walked in reality. This is a defining characteristic of God's people. To know the fear of God is to know your real place in the universe. The people of God are His possession, His servants, the sheep of His pasture, His little children, His creation. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. To fear God is to know. It will bring self-knowledge as much as knowledge to God. That's a psychological term of the 20th, 21st century. But it you will know, if you know God and fear Him, it'll inform you about who you really are. I'm a footnote to 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 a footnote in God's economy. Did you see me going backwards? I'm this small. But He loves me. I do know that. But it's good to know who you are. Okay, let's take one final look at David. As you read his life, as it is presented to us in these scriptures, we really see that David was flawed and imperfect. If we look closely at his life, we will see his failures come when the sense and fear and dread of God was lost to him. His sin with Bathsheba came when he was taking life easy as a great king. And when he saw, his sin came when he saw nothing but the beauty of Bathsheba. There was no fear of God in his eyes. God at that moment of his David's failure was that he had no fear of God. He only has eyes for Bathsheba. Later at the end of David's life, he was determined to make a census of the people of God. Remember that? He was determined to know how powerful he had grown as king. His counselor said, "Don't do it, don't do it." But he ignored them. He was king and he wanted to know how powerful his kingdom had become. You read the account. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 24. These two failures that I just mentioned are when David is full of himself and not the fear of God. Our own hearts are our own worst enemies. As he made this great error, the fear of God was not before him. It was his own power as king that filled his thoughts. When we let the fear of God slip out of our knowledge and experience, trouble is right there. The idea of the fear of God reaches all the way into the New Testament when Peter, as a mere fisherman, knew that Jesus was a person beyond his imagining. You remember the story? You don't have to have Uzzah to be struck down to know the fear of God. Peter, those nets were cast into that sea, and those nets were pulled out of the sea so full of fish, Peter knew something was going on, and he knew he was a sinner, and he said to Jesus, "Get away from me, for I'm a sinful man." Peter knew the fear of God. It's a New Testament concept. It was a threshing floor at Nacon experience. The events of Peter's day were written for our instruction. The events of David and Uzzah's day were written for our instruction. And we should take them to heart. Now let me close with this. God is not... I hope this doesn't hurt you. But let me just say it this way. God is not on our side. God is not a team player. He's his own team. We should be afraid of him as David was afraid of him on the threshing floor of Nacon. When God broke out against Uzzah, David's first emotion was anger. His anger was against God. He didn't like God doing that to him. Doesn't God see that we're on his side? And he should be on our side? What's wrong here? Uzzah was a good guy. He didn't want the ark to fall. David did not like God doing that. But it quickly came to David's mind that God was beyond and above all than David had imagined. And the result of that, David was afraid of God that day. Now, I just say to we in this room, as people of God, the people of God, and people that love God, if we're going to walk in truth, then we must have this fundamental point down. God is to be feared. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you'd write these things in our heart, and we know that you've written them on the, in some sense, into the Scripture, that we might get them and understand our place in the universe. Father, we would know all the blessings that come to those who fear God. Father, we would know the cleanness, the wisdom, the security, the great heritage of being part of God's people. We would know intimacy with you, the secrets of God. Father, we would know the fear of God. We pray that you'd give it to us and teach it to us. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.